How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Emerald City Hockey post-game live. Kraken picking up a win here, RJ, 4-2, in a game that they really dominated right from the beginning. I mean, there was a couple moments there a little bit where Calgary was able to get back into it, but this was arguably the most dominant performance we've seen from this team in, what, like a month?
Yeah, feels like it. I mean, the Kraken just felt like the superior team all night. And you know what? They looked motivated. Dylan, I mean, you know, you and I recorded a podcast earlier today, the deep dive, and there was so much drama going on today, whether it was, you know, the Wennberg being scratched for trade reasons, all the changes in the lineup. But man, it didn't seem to affect them negatively at all. And in fact, they looked extra motivated by it.
Yeah, it really did feel that way. I mean, maybe they should have tried doing something a little bit sooner, RJ, if this is going to get the team going like this, because we'll see. I mean, you know, they pick up 2 points. That certainly helps. Still a big hole that they got to kind of climb out of here for the wild card race. I know we talked earlier on the deep dive. We thought maybe they're done, but if they're going to play like this, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be tough.
Yeah. All you can do, just pick up points that are in front of you. And I mean, they're doing that so far.
Yeah, and we'll get into that, of course. We'll get into, the stuff that went down late in this game. I already see some super chats about it that we'll get into. But, of course, first, got a real quick shout-out, Flatstick Pub, for sponsoring this post-game live, just like they do all season long. So definitely want to give them some love, all of their locations, but especially that South Lake Union location there where, we know they take care of Kraken fans. We know.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So first super chat here from Cameron. What the hell was that hit on Dunner for? Does he have a history with dirty hits? That was a brutal play on Vince Dunn. I mean, I don't believe Vince Dunn came back after that one.
No, he did not.
I mean, that one's absolutely brutal. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, he goes in headfirst into the boards. He takes the worst of it by far. Brutal, brutal hit.
Yeah, I mean, it was a dirty hit. It was a garbage hit. And I think it just stems from frustration that, look, the Flames are kind of where the Kraken are right now in the standings. They're basically neck and neck. And when you lose a close game like this, their playoff chances are kind of slipping away. And I think he let frustration get the better of him. Pospisil did. But I mean, even early in the game, you look at the hit on Larson. I mean, he was running around all night. This was clearly a pattern from him. You would think that maybe the fight with Karche would kind of rein him in a little bit, but clearly it didn't.
No, it didn't. As for his history, I don't believe he has a history. This is first year in the NHL. He had 55 penalty minutes coming into this one in 40 something games. So, I mean, he gets penalties, but not at an egregious rate. So I wouldn't say that this was totally expected from a player like him. But yeah, I mean, it was just a rough, rough hit. I mean, Vince Dunn, he's got the puck there for a while. He's got his back to the play, but still, I mean, it's just, this is like the most basic fundamentals of it, right? You see numbers, you don't lay out the big hit that close to the boards. Like, that's it. Like, that's taught from an extremely young age. You watch the Timbits out there, right? Root was showing them, the little Timbit players out there on the ice during the intermission. They've all got big stop signs on the back of their jerseys, exactly to teach this, you know, and keep this stuff from happening. And then here you got the NHL player doing it. So we'll see, of course, what ends up being the situation with Vince Dunn. But I mean, that was brutal. You know, hopefully it's not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, that has to be the biggest concern coming out of this game is Vince Dunn okay? Because, you know, the Kraken, if they miss him for extended time, they're already slim hopes of a playoff spot just got slimmer. I mean, it's so hard to win without, you know, your top defenseman like that. And I also would expect Pospisil to get a call from the Department of Player Safety on that one. At least he should.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Also, by the way, love, see, we got like 200 in here already, just right off the bat. That is awesome.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. Light with the super chat here. Statement win by the boys. The lines look great. I have nothing family friendly to say about the Flames, and coward is too nice a word for Pospisil. We've focused on the Pospisil stuff just a second ago. Let's talk about the win for the Kraken. Like I said earlier, this was the most dominant performance. This was the most control over a game I feel like the Kraken have had in a very, very long time, RJ. We talked about how kind of maybe extra motivated they felt because of everything that was going on earlier in the day with Wennberg. But as Light said, I also think there's something to these lines. These lines looked good, right? You get Tatar back up there with Eberle and Matty Beniers. Jared McCann drops down to the second line, goes into the center spot, gets to play with Schwartz and Oliver Bjorkstrand. And then even Berkey coming back for the Yanni Gourde line worked, RJ. Like, it was a good setup.
Yeah, everything kind of clicked. And I mean, Dylan, you know, I've always been a fan of Jared McCann at center. I think he's really good in that spot. And I think he's embraced that role when he's been put there this season. He's the ultimate team first player. And so, you know, it's tough when you get moved off of a top line with, you know, Matty Beniers, Jordan Eberle. Like, that's a fun spot to be in, especially as a winger. But you could tell he took that center responsibility personally and made the most of it. I mean, you look at the forecheck to go in and create that goal, the Bjorkstrand goal. Like, that's all Jared McCann.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely is. And the other thing that I kind of like about this situation, RJ, is you look at it and you have, you know, the Yanni Gourde, you know, line getting a goal to start things off. You get the second line getting a goal. You get, you know, the Adam Larsson goal is with the Matty Beniers line out there, right? Like, Matty Beniers is helping make that goal happen. Do you think this lineup just leads itself more to, you know, the Kraken having a little bit more scoring, a little bit more depth of scoring, more lines being able to contribute on a nightly basis than, say, maybe the previous lineup where they had to really kind of load up that top line?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it spreads things out a little bit more, which, you know, can work for you if things are going well. If you'd asked me earlier in the game, I'd say maybe not, just because you look at the dominant first period and I kind of felt like you really need more than one goal out of that. But they did manage to score late and they just kind of kept rolling with it, even with the Flames getting a couple to get back into it.
Yeah, it's, I guess, with us saying that it's like kind of the most dominant performance and everything, this feels more like the way the team was built last year, where it was line after line really hammering you if you were the other team.
In waves, yeah.
Constant pressure, the constant waves coming at you. And this felt like that. This had echoes of last season in a way that we haven't really seen too much this year. And so I think there might be something to that. And of course, we'll see, because presumably we'll have this set up for the rest of the year, I would assume, if Wennberg ends up getting dealt. So we'll see. Kraken fan with the super chat here. Normally I'd complain about discipline, but this game was on a different level. It really did kind of get like, this is the first like playoff atmosphere, playoff intensity stuff is really going on, RJ. I mean, Matty Beniers coming to the defense of Vince Dunn, Brandon Tanev dropping the gloves right away with Blake Coleman. Like, this had that level to it. And obviously Pospisil, both with the Adam Larsson thing off the bat and then having to answer the bell with Ty Cartier later, and then the hit on Vince Dunn, certainly escalated things, and not in a way that you would want. You don't want those things happening in a game at all, even if it leads to stuff like this. But I mean, this is such a far cry. And I know the Root broadcast brought it up, far cry from like early in the year, right? In November, when we played the Flames and you had Mangiapane take that hit on Jared McCann, right? Where he just shoves his face into the ice and nobody on the Kraken responded. We had a lot of guys stepping up and responding in this game.
Right. I mean, that feels like a long time ago, doesn't it? The Mangiapane incident. And I mean, it's just night and day, the reaction. And I know there was a tiny bit of backlash that I saw on Twitter with Ty Cartier and taking that penalty or the extra penalty there going after Pospisil. But I think the rest of the game kind of proves that needed to be done. And, you know, that the Flames were just kind of running around all night, especially at the end, too, when they realized the game was out of hand. You know, yes. The Coleman trip, I know Tanev didn't like that. He had some choice words for him skating away there. But I think at a certain point, just the Kraken had enough.
Yeah, no, they did. And but that's what we've been wanting to see from them, right? We've wanted that kind of intensity and that pushback and that fight from the Kraken through most of the year. It's great to see that they have it now. Hopefully that carries over into next year. They're not going to be pushed around. They're not going to let things like what happened to Vince Dunn tonight, you know, happen all too often, or there will always be the understanding of, if you do that, you're not just going to have to deal with maybe the league afterwards, but you're going to have to deal with us in the moment too. I think that's an important thing to have. I think that's something that the Kraken really struggled with this year. And then, yeah, I think after Calgary kind of blew those two chances to tie the game up on those power plays, they just got frustrated and they just let it get to them, right? Like, this, yep. You just can't do it. You certainly can't do it and play reckless the way that they started to play there. Schultz with the super chat, if Dunn is injured, does that mean Schultz stays? So
it's an interesting question.
It's a really interesting question. I mean, I know this opens up room depending on if Vince Dunn's going to miss time. Obviously they have a game like right away after this one. You have Riker Evans. He can come in. He can fill in for Vince Dunn, kind of take up his role on the power play, stuff like that. But yeah, if, say, Vince Dunn, you know, worst case scenario, you worry about like a jaw or something like that, Vince Dunn's out the rest of the year, do you keep Justin Schultz around?
I mean, it's tough, I guess. You know, if teams are offering, say, a second round pick or something, I don't know how you could justify it, especially knowing Dunn's going to be out and your odds in the playoff race. But, you know, if it's maybe like a 1 or 2 week absence for Dunn or something, and you know, the Kraken just have a win here, and maybe, you know, you have another game before the deadline. If you win tomorrow, you might be able to talk yourself into it if you're on Francis.
Maybe. I would assume, just based on it, you know, Wennberg most likely being on his way out, right? Them keep, you know, scratching him means that they're far enough along that they feel like they're doing that move. That to me would signal that the front office made the call that it's not it's not this year. Because Wennberg, we talked about earlier, he is the piece you keep. If it's if you still think and you're really trying this year, Wennberg is the guy you hold on to. That to me signals that they're probably out. And I don't know that the result, they probably would have thought about, would a result tonight and tomorrow affect that decision? And they probably went ahead and made that call that it wouldn't. So I would think that we'll still see a Schultz move if the move was going to happen anyway. I think
it's more likely than not.
Yeah, the Vince Dunn situation will play. Well, of course, you need another team willing to, you know, give up what the Kraken would want for him. That's the other part. Chip, I think most, if not all of our games against the Flames have been heated this season. Pun intended, Chip. Hope Dunn is okay. All for Cartier and Maddie stepping up tonight. I mean, yeah, we talked about that intensity, the guys standing up for each other, that full team effort. It's good stuff. And I do think that that's an added element that Ty Cartier brings to this lineup too. We've seen him do it earlier this season. At the beginning of the year, he was really the only guy doing stuff like this.
Yeah, that was his job, which doesn't usually fall onto a rookie, but he's kind of had to pick that up this season and take ownership of that, which, I mean, you know, good for him stepping up and making himself useful. And also, I love that Maddie never shies away. You know, when the moment comes, right, where he needs to step up and be that guy because he's the closest guy, no hesitation from him ever. I think of last season, too, when Schultz, I think Florida. It was, you know, against Florida, you know, got boarded there and Maddie steps right in. I mean, just never any hesitation from him. That is leadership.
It is. I'm telling you, future captain. Been calling it from a long time ago. Been calling that one. Gregory with the lemon lime Gatorade time, baby. Pastor Canner, I love how our team responded to the physical play, especially Beniers on the dirty hit on Dunner. So definitely that stuff. And then Jared McCann. I mean, we talked about him earlier, but how about that whole sequence he had there on the penalty kill, RJ, because that was a heck of a sequence as I enjoy the Gatorade.
Yes, it really was. I mean, you have that first chance there where he finds Yanni Gourde, just happens to be on the backhand, but, you know, creating turnovers. And then, of course, right before the goal with the takeaway at the point there, reading the play so well, fighting through a bit of contact to kind of get clear for the breakaway. And then, I mean, when he has that kind of time and space in alone on the goalie, it's just automatic, right? I just kind of, as he was skating down there, because there was plenty of time where he had time to think about it. I'm just like, yeah, it's in. This is it. This is game. And of course, he doesn't disappoint.
I think the only time I ever felt bad for a Calgary Flames player tonight was Markstrom in that moment. Because you just knew.
What can you do?
Knew. That whole sequence, he'd been close a couple times already, even on that penalty kill. And you could just see it coming from a mile away. And yeah, I mean, it felt like the Calgary guys did too, because they weren't exactly hustling to get back there in case there was going to be a rebound or something either. So that tells you a lot.
Be no rebound.
That tells you a lot. When the opposing power play isn't really trying to help out too much, you know that thing's going in. But yeah, fantastic play. Good game from him overall. I know we talked about him earlier, but I think him being on that second line, spreading some things out, it's going to be interesting. I'm really intrigued to see how they play that way kind of the rest of the year when we're gone, just because maybe that, I don't know, does that complicate things for Shane Wright next year, RJ? Jared McCann, 2C, got to keep that happening?
No, I don't think so. I think you can you figure things out. Shane Wright's development's going to be the most important. Hey, McCann's a heck of a winger. He'll thrive there too.
I was just going to say, it helps him out because you can have somebody help out with faceoffs or defensive coverages. I mean, maybe even at times you put Shane Wright on the wing and you have McCann at center, but I think pairing them up would be fun next year. And then Jessica with the super chat here. I wish we hard hired Torts for one night to send into the Flames locker room. Goons. He would do it. I bet there's still a part of him that still wishes he got in there, RJ.
Yep. You know, I mean, he could fight all of them, just take them one at a time. He'd love that. I am interested to hear, though, what Hackstall has to say after this one, though, if he calls out some of those hits and what he'll say.
Definitely very intrigued on Hackstall. I mean, obviously we'd love to get a Vince Dunn update. It's not going to happen tonight. No. We kind of know how that situation goes. with a game day tomorrow too. I don't even know that we'll get one then. We might not get an update for a little while on him.
Yeah, just warm-ups. We'll know, you know, whether he's in or out, but more than that, probably not.
Yeah. So we will just have to wait and see on that. And then Light with the Super Chat, first season series win against the Flames. So there we go.
Oh, nice.
Picking up a new thing. I mean, and win 100, right, too. So good stuff for the Kraken there. Making some history, the franchise. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, the Flames have historically given the Kraken trouble, especially early on in the Sutter days.
Yes. Yes, definitely. Oh man, they did. They did. And shout out one more once for Philip Grubauer in this one too. I mean, he had to make some big saves. The moments where the Kraken were not in charge of this game, Philip Grubauer kind of kept them in it. And I know it feels weird in a game like this where the Kraken dominated and Calgary wasn't able to get a shot on goal for the longest time to kind of say that the goaltender really kept the team in it and is part of the reason why they were able to secure a victory. But Philip Grubauer absolutely did that, because as much as the Kraken kind of continued their play from the last couple games, RJ, I do feel like this one, you know, I mean, they allowed 3.3 expected goals against. That's a lot more than they've been allowing, right? There was a lot more shots in this one than they've been allowing, a lot of lower, higher quality chances than they had been allowing. And I thought that, you know, Philip Grubauer did a great job of stepping up and really handling his business in the crease tonight, as he's been doing for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, this is just kind of where he's at and what he's doing now. I mean, he's given the team chances to win and in the stretches where he needs to. Like in the second period, the Flames had a few grade A chances, just bang, 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 bang in a row, and Grubauer was able to hold them off.
Yep, definitely. So got over 100 comments here. Thanks to everybody who gave the super chats. We super appreciate that, of course. We're just going to start blowing through these here, RJ. We'll see how we do, because there's a lot.
I know, we got almost 200 in chat here. It's going to be a lot to get through.
Yep. First thing in, though, Kraken fan, forget Vegas. The real rivalry seems against the Flames. It does feel like a lot of our most heated and intense games have been against Calgary.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they play physical, they get chippy, and that's what it leads to.
Yeah, I think on ice, that's definitely the case. Off ice, Vegas, Edmonton, we tend to run into issues with those fan bases. Colorado, the fan base is a little bit more, but on the ice, boy, it's every game against the Flames is super high intensity. Let's see. So, you know, obviously some talk about the Vince Dunn hit and, you know, potential injury there via Ren. Oof, maybe the most upset I've been after a win. I certainly feel that. Lindsay, on one hand, yay, Kraken win. On the other hand, no Vince Dunn and hurting your draft position. Not tonight, Lindsay.
Yeah, can't be thinking about that tonight. They're still in it. They are still technically in it. Draft position comes later.
Yes. Tammy, proud of Maddie. Two penalties in one game. He's growing
That's
up,
right.
RJ.
Yep, career first for him. I'm not going to bother checking because I'm sure it is.
It absolutely is, yes. I mean, he really, like earlier, once he knew he was going to be out of it for the Lady Bing, I mean, he's just turned into this type of player, I guess.
He's just a goon now. He's embraced it.
He just is, I guess so. Let's see. Olivia, I swear, if we don't see a Department of Player Safety after those BS hits on Lars and Dunner, I'm going to fight the department myself. I mean,
well, they can fight, Olivia, too. They're all goons.
I was going to say, they could do that. I was going to say, get in line. That's probably a long line if they were to open up something for that.
Yeah.
Maddie, given the physicality of tonight's game, I understand why Winnie wasn't out there. Hard to trade a guy if he's no longer in one piece. Yes, given how this game went down, I don't care how close you were to a deal with Wenberg, you keep him out of it.
Yeah, definitely. I think he would have been at risk in this one, as any player would be.
Yeah, Viren, this is not how I want to get more Riker. I mean, agreed. This is not what we were hoping for this one. Coop, really proud of this team tonight. Win or lose, they showed that nobody Fs with our guys and we will fight back. That's the kind of team I want to root for. Thoughts with Dunner. Agreed. I think that's a pretty popular sentiment throughout this one here. Let's see. Shoeshine, I hope the win doesn't mean they don't trade Wenny. Again, I think just the fact that they've already started that process means front office has kind of made the call that this is what's happening.
Right. And also it's a little embarrassing too to, I don't know. It's if you already make that call, you're that far down the line and then decide to keep the player. I don't know that I've seen that.
Well, we've seen deals fall apart after situations like that.
But have
right?
we ever seen them just not get traded by the deadline when they've been held out for games? Players?
Well, I don't know. We might see that with Markstrom on the Flames side of things, right? Like,
was he held out of games, though?
Yeah, I mean, I think they were going with the other goaltender with Vladar. I mean, it's goaltending is hard to know, right?
Yeah.
But like, I feel like we've seen that happen before, right?
Maybe.
How could it have not happened, right? Because you do it for precautionary reasons, and then we've seen deals get blown up at the last minute. Like, I can't imagine it hasn't happened before. Let's see. There's just too many every year for it not to have. Let's see. Talk about a hard-fought victory that got a bit out of hand, eh, from Dexter. Just a little. Didn't need to get that out of hand. That's for sure. Yeah. Love seeing Matty play the entire third period, except when he was in the penalty box for all his penalties from Gary. Yes. Gonna really get in on Matty Beniers there. Very nice finish. McCann on the breakaway from Michael. Virginia, the most depressing podcast ever. Oh, I figured we'd be talking about that later.
Yeah, no,
should have been what we named it, RJ.
The most depressing podcast ever. Yeah, I mean, we tried to warn people a little bit with, you know, some difficult conversations or whatever we called it. But yeah, that would have been a good alternate name for it. I think that was pretty much the universal feedback from everybody.
Yeah, that is tough. But you know what? No, not too bad pushback on anything that we said, though.
Difficult truths, I think, were kind of the way that people framed it.
Yes. Elizabeth, I missed the two first periods and just seen the hit on Lars from that POS who hit done. What the heck? I mean, because I was right out of the game. I kind of get that right out of the game, right? You're going to lay a hit on somebody. I don't know. It's still, though, I guess it was just a sign of things to come that this is just a guy who doesn't seem to understand that you can't make dangerous hits along the boards.
Right. I mean, you know, last thing I want to do here is defend Pospisil at all. But I did text you, Dylan, on that. I was asking your thoughts kind of in the first intermission. And I did feel like Larson, he didn't see him coming. It certainly seemed like, but it felt like, you know, if he did get his head up a little bit, maybe could have protected himself a bit better because, man, he just kind of crumpled under that contact.
Yeah, but I mean, you could say the same thing about Vince Dunn.
Right? Well, yeah, Vince, but that Dunn's one, heads okay, up, but Larson, he, at least like Larson, he kind of hits him from the side a little bit. Like, he's not staring straight at numbers and looking the other way.
I think you could say the same thing realistically about the Pospisil. He kind of hits Dunn under the side a little bit. Like, he's still looking at numbers the whole way. I don't know. I think after the Vince Dunn thing, it made me rethink the Larson one a lot more.
Okay.
Like, it just did. I'm with you. I think Lars should probably stay on his feet, like, just absorb the contact, go into the boards. That's the safer thing. And this is a question to bring up because we've talked about this in the past with Matty Beniers and other situations like that, RJ. Do you think that the Kraken, maybe it's a training camp or through practices, need to do some more physical contact drills just to teach guys how to take hits so that they're not always in some of these situations, or when they absorb contact, they know how to maybe absorb it so you're not going to come out of it injured?
I mean, maybe a little bit with certain guys, like Matty Beniers is one. You're just being a younger player, right? That's all that is. I mean, Lars, it just clearly he didn't feel him coming at all. Cause I mean, you know, Lars, he knows how to handle himself. He's a vet in this league.
Yeah. So that, I don't know. It's just an idea. I'm sure it's not a popular one, but it's an idea. Yeah. Light with the super chat. This is not a drill. Grew at 902 save percentage for the season. I repeat, 900 grew is real. I mean, the goaltending, it's been here this year, RJ. I mean, Grubauer, best stretch of hockey he's played with the Kraken since he's come back from his injury.
In the regular season, maybe. I mean, some of those playoff games last year were really clutch against a good team, like against Colorado. But yeah, I think it might be.
Okay, well, there we go. Rebecca with this. Thank you for this, Rebecca. Looks like Pospisil got a game misconduct for a cross check on Marchand last month. No suspension then. So he is starting to build then a reputation for himself. I mean, we still see this in the NHL, RJ. I know we were going to talk about it on Red Glare with, of course, Rippy over in New York and all of that situation, but it's still frustrating that the league is still at this place where guys, you know, looking to secure opportunities for themselves in lineups feel the need to play like this, to provide this kind of spark, quote unquote, for their teams. I just feel like the league could be past it if they wanted to be.
Right. I mean, it's just kind of that old advice of just, you know, get noticed however you have to do it. And it's just kind of an ancient mindset, but it's still pervasive in today's NHL. And I mean, you do see that with young guys just trying to make a name for themselves in the league. I don't like it.
No, I think the league, again, if the league took it more seriously, I think we would see a lot less of it. would also maybe help if the league didn't keep recycling head coaches endlessly. But I feel like that would certainly help things a lot there. Let's see. Piper's talking to Big Cat right now. Oh, I got to imagine that would be fun because his goal, RJ, was fantastic. Was that? That's so sweet. That was so sweet.
What a
the way that's set up. I mean, the pass over. I've talked about it before. I love those catch and release goals, right? Stratic Laskos, like our favorite goal of the game, right? I always go with
that was too easy for this one.
Yes, it was. That's why we don't even need to. I'm sure maybe it's somewhere in the millions of comments here, but I always love those catch and release goals where it's just a guy collects the puck, picks his head up and just immediately snipes it. And for the Big Cat to do that, RJ, in that way, picks up a point for Maddie. Always got to celebrate when those happen this year because unfortunately they've been too far between. But I just love it. The skill. I mean, again, where is he in the shootouts? Get him in the shootouts. That was basically a shootout attempt, what he just did.
I know. We got to make it happen. But I mean, yeah, no question which goal tonight was your favorite. I mean, what a snipe from Lars. Did you see the wow afterward on the bench from him? Mm-hmm. I think he surprised himself.
Yeah, no, that was really, really good stuff. Let's see, Milo. Okay, I love everybody doing the research into Pospisil's background for us. This is like fantastic. I don't know how relevant it is, but Pospisil was suspended 12 games in the USHL in 2019, one for spearing, two for abuse of an official, and nine for fighting a fan, all in the same game. So there you go. That's a reputation if I've ever heard one.
I mean, I did go on his HockeyDB page really quick and see that he had 253 penalty minutes in 49 games in his first season in the USHL. So that gives a little insight into how that happened.
Yeah, no, that's certainly something. Again, I only checked NHL.com because that's just the page I was on my laptop. That's crazy. I mean, fighting a fan, that's some Mike Milbury level stuff. Doesn't happen often in this sport.
Yeah.
The fact that it's happened twice that I could think of now is crazy, actually. Yeah. Northwood's Knicks, no suspension, but he does have a history of dirty hits already. So there we go. Thank you, everybody, for that context on him for sure. Let's see. Lindsay, the boys were buzzing tonight. Maybe Wennberg was the one holding them back. I don't think Wenny was holding them back, RJ, but I do think that when Wennberg's in the lineup, they tend to put him in more of a shutdown situation, a shutdown role. And I think that takes his line a little out of it, right? Because now they're playing a different style. It's not Jared McCann out there trying to score goals and push and drive offense. It's Wennberg out there trying to shut down, you know, Sidney Crosby or Nathan MacKinnon or whoever it is that the Kraken happened to be playing that night. And so that's where I kind of like this different look. And you still have Yanni Gourde to do those shutdown duties, that shadowing, you know, responsibility if you need him to. I don't think he really did in the game against Calgary tonight, but but I think long term it could be fun.
I mean that's the key. I think, you know, against teams where they have superstars where you can put them out there and that helps you, but against Calgary I think you do maybe benefit from playing a bit more offensively, just trying to blow the doors off them, and the Kraken were successfully able to do that tonight.
Definitely. Coop, Lars saying how big it is for young guys like Maddie and Karts standing up for their teammates, love it. I mean, do you think one of them gets the hat tonight?
I mean, I think maybe they should. Just that's the way it's gone. I remember when Maddie stood up for Schultz, he got the hat. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, take your
Didn't
pick
Cartier
of the two of them.
Earlier this year too?
Yeah, he did. So that's the way it's gone historically. By the way, I got the quote here from Hackstall on the hits, by the way. Garbage. Not a whole lot different from the first hit 6-7 seconds into the game. If you're going to run around like that, you probably need to answer when somebody comes at you man to man, and that didn't happen either. From there, I'll leave it to the league.
All right. There we go.
Good stuff from Hackstall.
Good stuff from Hackstall. Rare for him to just straight up say garbage.
Yeah,
doesn't go there very often. That's some choice words for him.
It is. No, he doesn't usually say that just, you know, straight out. But again, he does defend his players, though, consistently. He's always in their corner. And, you know, this kind of stuff doesn't happen to Kraken players all that often. So I think that might contribute as well.
Yep. Lindsay, Jared McCann is the heart and soul of this team. I love him so much. I truly hope he finishes his career as a Kraken. Well, he's certainly not going anywhere anytime soon. Ricky, have the Kraken lost a game this year where they've scored four goals? I don't believe so.
I don't think so. I can double check that in a second, although I'm sure Viren will beat me to it. But
yeah, well, and Virginia, four goals should be enough to win. It should be. And certainly the way the goaltending has been for the Kraken through most of this season, it has been enough. And that's why I think it has worked for them. So it's just been, you know, a struggle at times to get to that four goals number. Yeah, it's certainly something. Tammy, love a shorty too. Only the third shorthanded goal this season, RJ. I mean, in the past, the Kraken with the power kill, certainly from season one, last year even with some of the guys that they had on the team, Kraken historically have done a little bit better scoring shorthanded, but I also know it's not like something you should be counting on. It's not the most consistent thing. It comes down to opportunities, all that kind of stuff. But it was nice to see another one this year.
Yeah, those numbers can vary pretty wildly from year to year. And that's one thing I noticed too when I was researching for the podcast today and was looking up the PK rank. And I think they're like 17th in the league, just PK percentage. And then when you go to net PK, you know, including shorthanded goals they've scored, they drop down to 21st. So that kind of told me they probably haven't scored much shorthanded.
Yeah, definitely not.
Thank you, Byron, but that they have not. They haven't lost when they've scored four. Appreciate that.
Yeah, there we go. Rebecca, it's true. We aren't talking enough about Gru keeping us in this. I mean, he's just been so solid, RJ. I mean, the way he makes the saves, the way he's getting himself in front of so many pucks, because that's really what it is, right? We're not seeing like the diving across the crease, like crazy spectacular saves. We're not seeing the big windmills or the scorpion kick or any of that kind of stuff. It's just that Grubauer is always directly in front of it, and then it just gets absorbed into him so that there's no rebound after the fact either, right? And right, that's the most impressive thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's not one of the bigger goalies in the league. That's kind of how he has to have success, is just putting his whole body in front of the puck, and that, you know, depends on tracking it really well, and he's certainly seeing the puck very well and you know, reacting accordingly.
Yeah. Just Michael here. If Wennberg gets traded, will we call up Shane Wright to replace him?
No, at least not for more than, what, five or six games. Yeah, they're not going to burn the year of his entry-level contract. That's kind of the line. And I don't think he gets called up right away anyway. I mean, certainly given their success tonight, you know, there's not a glaring need at the moment.
Yeah, they had too many forwards, so losing one forward to a trade doesn't really create that huge of a vacuum, especially with Jared McCann being able to fill in there. Again, later on in the year, if it would be nice if maybe the last couple games or something, we get to see him a little bit more. But for the most part, they probably want him dialed in for the Firebirds postseason run.
Yeah, that's what I think. By the way, so your bottom of chat here, I think we need an ECH live commentary during the next Calgary game. They don't play each other for the rest of the season, right?
But, yes,
this is their last game of the season.
Year.
So I know it would be next year. But by the way, it gives us a chance to plug the post game live, because we do have the Patreon schedule. Mm-hmm. Oh, not post game live. Sorry, live commentary. But we do have the Patreon schedule out for March, so everyone can go check that out. It's on all the social media, and that'll be March. Wait.
The Vegas
21st
game. Yeah,
there's two, there's the 12th and the 21st, the 2-1 and the 1-2, March 21st at Vegas. So that'll be a fun one. We'll watch with all the patrons.
Yes. Going back to the first comment in chat, we chose the other team with the rivalry kind of.
Yep.
That's the one. So that's still going to be fun, especially after the Winter Classic and everything. Let's see. Pospisil didn't get the memo that Sutter isn't the coach anymore from Sam. That is true.
Yeah, that would earn him playing time with Sutter.
Oh, God. Ugh, happy that that's over, hopefully for the last time. Lindsay, 100th win in franchise history, but just saying, how cool would it have been to have happened against Edmonton on Kraken Day? Lindsay's not going to let that one go.
That would have been cool. Yeah.
I don't blame you, Lindsay, by the way.
If you beat San Jose before the All-Star break.
You're not going to let that one go.
Nope. Never.
Leo, where is Megna when we need him? We got Riker. That's what happened to Megna. Let's see. B, I don't care that the Flames scored on the power play from Cartier's fight. In my opinion, worth it to show that pushback they were missing earlier this year, even if the Kraken hadn't won the game in the end. I mean, certainly given the way the season has gone, RJ, and the fact that, you know, team is basically signaling that they know they're out of it at this point. I agree with the sentiment there.
Yeah, that's what makes me okay with it without hesitation, is just this is kind of the day that just signaled, okay, you know, we're probably not going to make the playoffs. Other things are more important than that. And, you know, that can include standing up for your teammates.
Yep. Edward, Kraken able to achieve victory after fighting through the fire and the flames. Always love the music references there. And fighting through the negative 5-degree weather and fighting through whoever was in charge of music at the Saddle Dome tonight. So that was very interesting catching that through. I will give the Saddle Dome credit, RJ. Was this not the best broadcast you've ever seen from there? Like, did internet finally get to Calgary or something? Like, I don't know.
It looked much better than usual, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Calgary was like known as like the worst broadcast. Like, it looked dark and they were bad quality, all that stuff. Tonight looked good. I think they may have gotten new lights also. I think that helped. Like, something clearly changed because this was the best looking game out of the Saddle Dome I've seen in ever.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. Let's see. Sam was pretty cool seeing Furkus at the T-Birds game Saturday. He was getting out muscled at times, but every time he had a decent look, the puck was going in the back of the net. And that's the name of the game with Jack Furkus.
That's the book on him.
When he's
clutch, not... shootout winner.
Yep. Of course he is. I mean, that guy just plays. He's so good. He's so good when he can stay, you know, on his feet and not get tossed around like he did all preseason. I'm with Tammy. Furkus needs some miracle grow.
Yeah.
The coop with the steroids, lol. That would be, I guess, the miracle grow, the human equivalent. Maybe not that. Maybe that's yeah, not down, that. No. Let's see. Some more love for Ty Cartier. I love to see that from everybody. Also fun fact from Kraken PR Twitter. Apparently Kraken now have perfectly even split of wins at home and away, 50 each, since they hit 100 wins tonight. What are the odds of that?
Okay, that's hard to do exactly.
It's really hard to do. I mean, especially because it feels like through their history, they've historically been better on the road.
Right. I mean, certainly last season, that was the story. And yeah, I mean, they've kind of had their woes at home, and that's been a talking point. But I mean, you look at this season, I guess they've got 14 wins at home, 13 on the road. So it's close.
Yeah. And season one, well, they just didn't win much season one.
They did lose a lot on the road. They were better at home because they were just kind of bad everywhere.
That. Yeah. Demers, I feel like Tanev was bringing a little extra tonight after Calgary traded his brother. And that's before the dirty hits. I mean, Turbo was out there. Is it because of the 32 thoughts thing, RJ, you think?
Maybe. I mean, I know he might look at that stuff, but, potentially, but I think also, you know, early in the game, he was kind of honoring his brother by having a lot of really painful shot blocks.
Oh man, it was brutal. And then that one sequence where he takes, I think it was like his third shot block, gets up, goes into the corner to try to play the puck and just gets completely crushed there too. I'm just like, this guy, like, oh, I felt so bad for him.
Yeah. By the end of the game, I understand why he was, so upset, just generally.
Yes, he was just maybe that's why he went for the fight. He was hoping just to get out of there. Less than 5 minutes left of the game, go back to the locker room, get that ice back quick.
Yeah, and a super chat here from Kraken fan. Puck hit the scoreboard, must be mentioned. Yeah, we got to talk about this, Dylan.
Yes.
That was a hilarious moment on the broadcast, by the way. Like, John and Edzo just made that.
Yeah, I mean, they were obviously brought it up. It's weird to me that they would store the confetti over the scoreboard, right? Because a lot of places have confetti just in general up in the rafters.
I've seen it float down at Climate Pledge.
Yes, I've seen it many times float down at Climate Pledge, but it's always over the crowd, right? Mm-hmm. It's never over the playing surface. So for them to store it over the playing surface where, yes, should something happen, it ends up on the ice, is very strange to me, given the dangers of it. As Edzo was very quick to point out, like, if you're skating along and you hit a piece of confetti, I mean, your leg's going out under you. Like, you're not skating on that. That's a problem. And so I'm very curious move, unless the one thing I could think of is whenever they last dropped confetti, some of it landed on the top of the scoreboard and then has just been sitting there until jostled loose by the puck.
Yeah. Now, for how long? So I love this comment from Nicole. I think it's from when the Flames won the Cup in 89. It was just been sitting there that whole time until a puck hit it just right.
That's so good. That's so
great
good.
Comment, Nicole.
I would love that. Maybe that, I mean, that would explain, maybe if they are storing it up there in the Jumbotron there, maybe it would be because back then they didn't know better. Or they just didn't care if confetti got on the ice.
Yeah. Backhand sauce, new all-star event, fastest skater while it's raining confetti. That's interesting. And then Lindsay bringing up too. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that's more dangerous than making the goalies do fastest skater again.
Yeah. But then Lindsay mentioning Schwartz's skate blade also getting yeeted out of the holder. Also while mid jump too. Imagine just returning down to the ground and your skate blade is not there.
Yeah, no, and the ting that it made, right? Like when they did the replay of that and you heard the sound.
The sound.
What? I mean, that,
I don't think I've heard that before.
I've never heard that sound. Insane. I'm kind of surprised it didn't like shatter like somehow. Yeah. You know what I mean? It stayed together. It just popped out of the thing. And then also I know I saw Allison Lucan's tweet about the confetti thing. And she said that, you know, puck hit the screen in Calgary, confetti fell. Is it a pinata?
Yep. No, I love that. The pinata reference right away.
Good one. It's a good one. Let's see. Jake, does this put Grew over 900 for the season? He's been making up that ground fast. It does indeed, as Light was very kind to point out to us. I mean, he's incredible sequence from him. So good.
Yeah.
Let's see. People, Kraken fan page official, the real rivalry is the Flames for sure. So people definitely hopping on board with this. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that does build a rivalry, RJ, when you get these kinds of sequences.
Yeah. I mean, and especially, you know, you have a playoff series of this kind of stuff escalating. Not that these two teams I could see playing in the playoffs anytime soon, just given kind of where they're both at. But still, you know, that kind of thing can build. Although I will, you know, still mention the Avs. Again, I'll mention Colorado because I did see some Avs fans in our comments tonight talking about, like, you know, with the Larson hit, like, this is, or the Dunn hit, like, you know, this is what you get for injuring Cogliano. Like, what are you doing here? I don't know. They still are harboring some ill will.
They definitely are. They definitely are. That just means we did a good job, right?
Yep.
But well, 9 months on that later. Hit,
but yeah, otherwise.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. We got under their skin a lot during that playoff series, and it really messed them up. Lindsay, 33% of Matty Beniers' PIMs on the season came tonight. Bryce, wow. Matty with twice as many penalties today as he had all of last season. Also, Bjorkstrand had only taken one penalty all season through February. Good on Bjorky, playing some good clean hockey there. And then Ricky, Maddie's Ogie Oglethorpe. Love it. Incredible. Great
reference. Ricky.
Love it. But yeah, some more love for Matty Beniers playing, you know, his new style of hockey, standing up for teammates and taking penalties. And then we got a super chat here from that Kraken fan page official. Grew looks so tired. Joey tomorrow, I assume. Fresh goalie for back-to-back game. Also, yes, Avs fans are crybabies. Thanks so much, guys. Go Kraken. Yeah, absolutely going with Joey Decord tomorrow night. Whenever possible, you 1,000% avoid playing your goalie on back-to-back days. It is a lot. And yeah, I mean, Grew's, I guess it was tough. This one, I would love to ask Philip Grubauer this, RJ, because he faced like a fairly normal workload of shots, but he essentially faced it all in like the last 25 minutes of the game.
Yeah, just in this short span. Yeah, all just condensed.
What does that feel like as a goalie? Like, do you still feel the same amount of tired at the end, or because it was also focused and you had to be so on, are you more tired after a game like this? That would be an interesting question.
I bet he'd give you a good answer too.
I think he would too. I think he would actually really kind of respect that question.
Next time it happens, I'll, you know, something like that happens, I can ask him.
Yeah.
Or it happens at home anyway.
Yeah. Kaylin saying, RJ, Edzo said there was a player held out and they didn't get traded. So there you go.
It's happened
at some point when Edzo's been around.
Edzo would know. He's got a great hockey memory.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Lindsay, of note on the Lars goal, Pospisil was also the one laying the hit on Eberle, allowing him to make the play. Hashtag karma.
Yeah. And he was slow getting back into the play.
You'd think he'd learn his lesson off of that, off of fighting Cartier. I mean, there's just no getting through to him, I guess. Who else is hoping for Ebbs to get 1,000 games played with 700 points? This is from Chandler. I saw some people talking about this on Twitter as well, RJ. I mean, Eberle's now, what, 3 games away from 1,000, but he's 7 points back.
Yeah, he's 7 points back.
Well, he picked up an assist tonight, so maybe he's only 6.
Oh, yeah, is it like 3 goals? And well, that would make it 3 goals, 3 assists. Short, like 3, because he's 3 goals short of, what, 4? No, yeah, it would be...
I'm looking it up. He's 296. He's four short of 300 goals. He's three assists short of 400. 400 coming into this game.
Assists, yeah.
Yeah. And then seven back. I don't know that he can do it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a lot of production over the next few games.
It's a lot of specific production. Is he capable of a run like that over a couple games? Absolutely. For it to line up exactly perfect, that's a little tougher ask.
I mean, when you've got a whole long career like Jordan Eberle, and it all lines up so close this far, it feels like destiny might play in a little bit, right?
Maybe. I mean, look, he's only two assists away. Because these numbers have not been updated with tonight, it looks like, because it still shows him at 996 games played. So he's three games away, two assists away from 400 on his career, 6 points away from 700. But still, the four goals is going to be the tough one.
Yeah. I don't know that he could do that. But if he can, what an accomplishment.
Yes, that would be fantastic. That would be so much fun. And Jake pointing out, Ty Domi did fight a fan in the penalty box. I forgot about that.
Yep.
Who makes that decision? I'm going to hop the glass, get into this penalty box. Ty Domi.
Watch the lawsuit, Ty. Great call on that one.
So good. Oh, man. Pipes up Groovy out a couple times, which I'll always take from Tammy. They did.
That one that was just rolling in on the post.
I do think that we did identify, like, defensively, Kraken defense has done a great job of kind of addressing a lot of the issues that they had, the new format, all that kind of stuff. We talked about this the last couple of post games. The net side plays really were a struggle tonight, right? And obviously Kuzmenko, that's where he's fantastic at doing that. He's able to pick up a goal that way. But I have noticed in these games against Philip Grubauer, especially because he's been pretty aggressive, Grubauer, playing very high up in his crease and stuff, that has been a vulnerability, and it doesn't always look like the Kraken D is there to kind of help out in those situations.
Right. And I mean, I get they're also probably pretty used to Joey generally this season. That's one of those little adjustments that you might have to make.
Let's see. Opinion on Tuna being back on Maddie's line. I like that combination with McCann taking over the 2C spot from CJ.
I mean, I like it. I think, again, Tatar, as long as there's not much of a drop off on that line, it basically just allows you to take a great player in McCann and kind of move him down the lineup and spread things, you know, a little bit thinner. I think, you know, against some better teams or some better teams defensively, you might need to stack the firepower on that first line. But against Calgary, it works.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's OK. I mean, they played well earlier and he was able to help spark Maddie. I mean, coincidence. He's back up on that line. Maddie picks up another point this, you know, RJ, like, just saying.
No, I mean, they've got chemistry. Yeah, you can't deny it. They've got chemistry.
Yeah. Let's see. Ricky confetti left over from the 88 Olympics via Ren. I've been to three Kraken games in San Jose and seen exactly one regulation goal. Better believe I'm not forgetting it either.
Oh, man.
That is brutal. I'm very sorry. That's really, really brutal. Let's see. Win or lose, I'm excited to see how Joey looks tomorrow night in about 19 hours. I'm intrigued by that too, just given that he's gotten some good rest in here, RJ. And I mean, I'm just also intrigued to see the Winnipeg Jets, because, like, I can't even remember the last time we played them. It feels like an eternity ago.
Yeah, I remember searching this season for Kraken Jets matchups this season. I realized they were, like, all three of them were just lumped together at the end of the season. That's kind of how it's going to go. So, yeah, this is the first Kraken Jets matchup of the season.
Yeah, and you get to root for your favorite player ever, Sean Monahan.
Every other game, all the other games, just not the ones against the Kraken.
Edward, maybe the real playoffs is the rivalries we've made along the way.
Yeah,
certainly in a year like this, I agree with that statement very much so. Let's see, Rebecca, why does the rest of the week have to be all Jets all the time?
I know. Dylan, are they gonna over under three and a half goals scored in those, like, each of those two Jets games? I feel like they're gonna be low scoring
for the Kraken, or just goals in general?
Goals in general. Like, I think the Kraken are trying to play defensively. You got probably Hellebuck in the other net at least one of those games. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter which goal you have. The Jets just don't allow goals.
These are not going to be. I mean, I will take the over, but it's close. 3.5 okay. is probably exactly
all right. That means I said it well.
You put it very well. Yes, definitely. And hey, look, I'm just going to say this. Could be worse. Could have to be watching the New York Football Jets. That would be worse.
That is true.
That would be worse. I mean, it would be better for the Kraken. I feel like the Kraken could probably more easily pick up points against a football team playing hockey. But
as a Garrett Wilson fantasy manager, last season, I know that one to be true.
Let's see. The Tolvanen hooking call was wild from Maddie. I didn't actually get to see that one.
Oh, you did. So he kind of came up like from underneath. It didn't look like a normal. He just kind of came up from underneath, just tapped the glove a little bit, but it was right as the player was getting the puck, and it kind of caused the puck to skitter away.
Yeah.
It was soft for sure, but you know the stick did hit the glove. By the absolute definition, you could call it. I don't know.
That was after everything with Vince Dunn, though. So it I feel like right the refs that, were probably just trying to clamp everything down.
Balance it. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. We know they do that. And Nicole asking, was the Tolvi call an even up call? I don't know that it would be an even up call, but I could see them just being like, from this moment on, we're calling everything so that nothing gets out of hand.
Right. Yeah. No nonsense. No attempts at anything. We're going to be on top of it. And we're going to send a message that we're going to be on top of it. I think that's kind of what it was.
Yeah. That would make more sense to me. It's more believable for me. Just knowing officiating crews this year, especially. What was I going to say? Oh, the one other thing that I want to talk about, and it hasn't really popped up in here yet, or if it did, I just, didn't see it because there's so many comments. Vince Dunn just yeeting the puck up into the netting there, RJ. I mean, it was a rough situation because the Calgary was already putting on a ton of pressure, and then Vince Dunn does that, and then Alexiak gets the high stick. I mean, it just happens sometimes when you're defending like that. The stick rides up and it gets up there. I'm not putting too much on Alexiak, but I can't remember the last time I've just seen a player essentially, RJ, like at the crease, just take his hand and just go, nope, and just...
Yep.
Off it goes. Delay of game. What was that? I've never seen that before.
I mean, it's not a bad instinct to knock it away, but the amount of power and the trajectory, that's going out of play. I don't even think that's against the spirit of the delay of game rule. That's just delay of game. You can't argue with that call.
That's exactly what they created that rule for. But I mean, Vince Dunn, I wonder if he plays tennis, RJ. Because if he played tennis, then maybe he'd know to come at it a little bit more like this, and then you can keep it more
like right over the net and lower.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. I don't know. We got to talk with him about that one. I mean, he's probably got bigger concerns right now than that one, but moving forward.
And Lindsay's saying Vince practicing for future fish eats with that puck over the glass. Yeah, bring that energy to eating the fish.
That is true.
Not
that
batting
is definitely
the puck.
True. Milo, Ebb's hat trick tomorrow incoming. Would love it. Would love it, Milo. Let's do it. And Rebecca Everly streaking us into the playoffs would be the wildest time. It would be so wild, RJ. It would be so wild. I mean, I'm looking at it at the situation. Kraken 7 points back, one game in hand on Nashville. Again, you're not going to have the tiebreakers. It's still a tough call, but it's there. It's there. It's doable. The Jets could prove me right about them, RJ, and make it happen for the Kraken.
They could. Sean Monahan goes cold for just 2 games.
He's done that plenty. Let's see. The more we talk about the game, the more I realize how messy and crazy it was from Nicole. I don't even know that the game itself was messy and crazy. It was just the last like 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was really, just the third period, but it really got off the rails. So much wild stuff.
It was crazy. It was definitely crazy. Vince Dunn, practicing for the future. Fish eats Vira and butt fumble on the ice. Yes, I know this is a 12-year-old reference, but I want that silliness. They'd find a way to make it happen.
It could happen. I'm surprised it hasn't happened already. You have a player just skating up the ice and his teammate just kind of backs in and he knocks him right down.
And he just folds like a chair.
I
mean, we saw two Kraken run into each other and take themselves out of a play in this game. It definitely does happen. Evie asking, is there any updates on Dunner? I assume there hasn't been.
Hackstall says no updates on Dunn.
Yeah, so no update. And again, I think the one update we'll get tomorrow is whether or not he's going to be available for that game.
Yep. That's all it's going to be. And they're not going to have morning skate either because it's back to back. So we'll just find out during warmups.
Yep. Vegas lost to Columbus tonight, and we are only 8 backs of them, and we have a game in hand. This is something you've been kind of sneaky talking about, RJ.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really, you know, believe that it'll factor in at all. But if you look at teams that the Kraken could catch or are trying to catch, Vegas has entered the picture. They're not playing well recently, and they might fall into the, actually by points percentage, they're already in one of the wild card spots. LA is well ahead of them in points percentage. So Vegas might be the team with the target on their back. It sounds weird, but they're 2-7-1 in their last 10. That's a pretty bad pace, you know.
That's not good.
Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, no, that is definitely not good. Crazier things have happened, and I certainly wouldn't complain if that ended up being the case. Maddie, the hit on Tanev after the shot block was by Popsicle, I believe. I actually thought that was why Cartier dropped the gloves. Interesting. Now, two things that I want to know. First one being, is Popsicle like his nickname? Because if so, I mean, it makes sense for Popsicle. But like,
yeah, it's too easy.
But if it is, I don't want to use his fun nickname tonight after what he did. He doesn't deserve it. And then I'm looking at his stat line from this game, RJ. He's got 2 shots, 4 hits. Now, here's a question I have for anybody who would know. Maybe that's you, RJ. With the Vince Dunn hit, does that count as a hit because there was a penalty on that play? Does the penalty cancel out the fact that it is a hit, or does that count as a hit for him for standings, for a contract bonus, something like that? When there's a penalty, something causes a penalty, do those count as hits or whatever that action was? I guess hit would be the only thing. You're not going to score a goal and take a penalty like that.
That's a good question. And you know what? If you give me a minute, I can find out. But yeah, I would think it should. I don't know. I mean, it's still a hit.
I don't know.
It's a bad hit. Like, is it a separate thing?
Right. Is it? I don't know. I would think that.
I'm looking at the event summary right here. Cause now because we get all full play by play. There we go. And I'll just go find it here.
We hear the mouse wheel a turning.
Oh yes. You can hear that. Good.
Yeah.
Let's see. Penalty shot hit. At 13:41,
I would think that it would still count as a hit because it's happening while the game is live, so it's a hit. Yeah. It's just that it was a hit that triggered a penalty, which would be a separate.
I don't see it on the live play by play. We've got Calgary shot on goal, and then penalty Beniers roughing. This is all simultaneous. Penalty Pahal roughing. Penalty Pospisil checking from behind major. Penalty Pospisil game misconduct, and then stoppage for video review. And then same time, then just Seattle wins offensive zone faceoff right afterward.
All right. Maybe that's the mystery of all of the hits they added during All-Star break.
Interesting. The penalty hits?
Because if the scorekeeping goes that they immediately go to mark in the penalty, then I could see them then not marking the hit.
Yeah. Possibly, but I mean, I have somebody. I have somebody I could ask to confirm this, and I will check it out later.
But yes, that is something that I am curious about moving forward. There, let's see. Okay, it sounds like everybody's just using Popsicle because it's just easier.
Yeah,
that's fine.
That's okay.
All right, let's see. Milo, if we somehow magically knock Vegas out of out to end up in the playoffs, I will buy glass seats for our first playoff game. Student debt be damned.
Yep. Hey, you know, it'll be worth it.
This is not a financial advice podcast or anything, but
disclaimer.
But go for it. Light, the entire Pacific Division being a bunch of paper tigers is the perfect way to describe how silly and unserious our division is. Did you just you mute yourself?
No.
Could you hear me? You. No.
Oh, I just got close to the mic. Maybe it's too much for it. I just said no comment.
It's gonna say
when that
light was definitely baiting you there, I feel like, more than anything. But
that's bait.
Yeah, exactly. There's always these teams like LA who stumble for a while and then they right the ship right before they fall below us. Demirs, that is certainly what it looks like is happening with LA at the moment. Jake, are we gonna see Belmar again this season?
Injuries will dictate that, I think. Or trades. if the Kraken moved to Tar, there's another spot.
Yes. Yeah. I was going to say it would take a second trade to happen because there's still enough room that with Wenberg out, it doesn't mean he gets in the lineup.
Yeah.
So we will see. Everybody talking about more stuff about Popsicle.
Lindsay and Olivia pointing out Turbo got the hat.
Okay, good. That is, but no video. So I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I think that works.
I think so. I mean, again, he was one of the guys who fought somebody. Edmonds missed the Davy Jones hat presentation, so we gave it our best. Yeah, they just put a picture of him with the hat on in front of the arena.
That's good. Habak, why is everyone so hopeless about our chances? I think we still have a shot if we win tomorrow. We get 5 points within Nashville if we win tomorrow. Yeah, it's just because it's a big gap. There's still so many teams involved that you have to clear because you don't have the tiebreaker. So it does just mean that your chances are lower and lower. And, you know, it'd be one thing if they were like three points back right now, right? That would be a very different conversation. Seven is still a big gap to make up.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and especially without the tiebreaker too, you're looking at basically four games with 21 games to go. And so, you know, that's a hard gap to make up.
Yeah. Sean, ooh, Flames fans won't like Tanev getting the hat. That is for sure. Let's see. If Dunn is out for a while, who are we calling up? Obviously Riker would fill in, but wouldn't we want an extra D with us? Yeah, I would assume they would call somebody up to still be around and on the team. RJ, do you have a sense of who that would be?
I mean, if it's somebody who's, you know, probably going to be scratched most of the time, I would think Gustav Olofsson is usually their go-to with that. It could be Cale Fleury. Actually, Cale Fleury might be the guy. But you also don't want to take away from the Firebirds too much in their playoff push. So I don't know.
That's what I was worried about and what I was thinking about. Here's something also, because you also don't want to worry maybe if Cale Fleury gets picked up on waivers. Like somebody might want him post trade deadline. If they trade a defenseman, they just need a body, somebody to see how they go for next year. I don't know.
Although his contract is kind of designed to be waiver proof. So
that is true. But you have a couple guys. We could see Ville Otavainen and RJ.
Possibly.
Waivers exempt.
he is, but again, you don't just want him sitting there. So if you bring him up, it's hopefully to play him. I don't think he gains a whole lot from not playing. And I don't know, maybe Dark Horse Jimmy Schult.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Not an interesting name at all, but you know, maybe.
Well, just
replace the Schultz with a Schult.
I was just gonna say, like, you just want to have him around while Justin Schultz is still here, so we can confuse him even more. We add another one into it, so we have a Schultz, a Schwartz, and a Schultz, just to make it as hard on John and Eddie as possible every game.
Yep.
That Kraken fan page official with the super chat. I quote this from my Flames fan already on their page. I never in my life have seen two clean hits be penalized. Flames versus refs, shaking my head. What?
Never in your life. Huh?
Never seen. Wow. That is something. That's something. Oh my God.
I don't, that doesn't even deserve a response, honestly.
No, I know. That's rough. Justin Schultz, Jimmy Schultz, and Jaden Schwartz. Oh no. I know, I'm with you, Zoe. Like, this would be a nightmare for me. I gotta do that live game commentary against Vegas, RJ. You can't do that to me.
No. I mean, you know, Edzo and John, they're professionals, you know. We are not.
Yes, that is true. Let's see. Zoe, Calgary Flames social media admins posted the Lars hit with a questionable caption.
Oh yeah, I saw that. The what did they say? Just welcome to the Marty party or something.
Oh well, that aged well for them.
Yeah.
Do we think the Kraken do a paper transaction with Riker to allow him to play in the AHL playoffs?
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, look out for that on deadline day.
Yeah. Viren Olofsson just got back from injury and everyone still has 9 games of waiver exemption. So I guess there we go.
Yeah, that's true. There is a time frame that you have. Yeah. Before you have to send them down.
Yeah, that is true. I forgot about that. I was just looking at cap friendly and just looking for the green arrows.
Yep.
Green arrows say their waivers exempt. Let's see. So that's all good stuff. Yeah. Oh, they're just sobbing, all the Flames fans.
Yeah, the super chat. Yeah, free Pospisil, whatever, moving on. Yeah, that's the way to go. Let's move on.
He hasn't even been punished, and they're already saying to free him.
Yep. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's like they know he might get suspended.
Well, I was gonna say it's the NHL Department of Player Safety. There's no guarantee that he will be suspended or anything.
Yeah,
they're really jumping the gun there in this league. Oh man, that is something. But thanks for the super chats there. Yeah, Kraken fan page official, appreciate it. All right, let's see here, Bach. I remember how much money Calgary spent in their offseason to move to be a contender, and I laugh. It's good stuff. And then Demir's, I hope I'm never that delusional. I hope I'd be mad at a Kraken player if they made a serious hit like the one on Dunn, seriously dangerous. I feel like a lot of the fan base would be.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
With the Jordan Eberle on Cogliano hit. I don't remember really Kraken fans defending that one. We were all like, yeah, that's a bad hit. You shouldn't have done it.
Yeah, that, I think that was the consensus
too. We said
it
was suspendable.
Yeah, I think that's part of, you know, I'm one thing I'm really proud of with this community is everyone's really responsible about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And then just last one here from Milo. If we have all the Jay Shah guys, we might as well trade for Bobby McCann from Toronto so we can have McCann and McMahon together. Bobby McMahon from Toronto so we can have McCann and McMahon together. I did see somebody who was playing the NHL video game, RJ, and he made an all-Connor team. So mm-hmm. It was like Connor Bedard, Connor McDavid with like Connor Brown on the first line. And then the second line was all the O'Connors, like Logan O'Connor and all those guys. And then it was just more Connors all the way down. It was a mess.
Oh, I remember it was in training camp. What was it, last year? 2 years ago? It was in training camp for the Kraken. So they had like everybody up. And I remember for one glorious shift in one of the scrimmages, the five players on the ice for one of the teams were Schultz and Schultz on defense. And then it was Pagansky, Podorolski, and Twarinski as the three forwards.
That's either an announcer's like dream scenario or worst nightmare.
Yep. Like no in between.
That's how I would decide if I'm in the hiring process. Part of the interview, I'm pulling that up and I'm making them call that, and I see how excited they get or not.
Yep, just shrivel up into a quarter.
Yes. We'll end on this one from Sydney. Studenich and Studenico would be good too. Lol.
Yep.
Gotta make it happen. Oh, good stuff there. Thanks everybody for joining us. Closing in on an hour 10, still 140 people in here. Really awesome. Appreciate all the love and support, everybody. Appreciate all the engagement in the comment section. Super appreciate all the super chats. Thank you from everybody. Kraken picking up this win. I mean, they're still in it. Going to see what tomorrow brings for the Kraken, just with the other game coming in. We'll maybe get an update on Vince Dunn. Obviously, we hope he's okay. See if we get an update on the Wennberg situation, RJ, too. If maybe something happens there, I don't know.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes peeled. Yeah.
Just right now, RJ, on the spot, do you think it's that there's multiple teams interested, that's why we haven't heard something yet? Or do you think it's because they're trying to get a third? They have a deal in place for one specific team and they're trying to get a third team involved for salary retention?
I think it's multiple teams still left for Wennberg because I think if it was the cap broker, it would have come together today.
Yeah, I agree.
It's generally easy enough to get that done, I think.
Yep. So we will see what tomorrow brings all the way around. Thanks, everybody, for joining us, and we'll see you all next time.